Good morning, I'm Mark Allen with Gaber.io, and I'm here today with Kendall Richer, the creative director of Givelify. Good afternoon in your case, Kendall. How you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on, Mark.
Thank you for joining us today. And is that your actually bedroom, or is that a background that you've put in?
I get this asked all the time. This is actually my bedroom. I'll kind of give you a little bit more of the backstory there here in a second. But I have to give my wife all of the credit for the decorating there, though. I just get to inhabit it during the day.
Well, my compliments to your wife. I would agree. She did a very good job. And this actually is very close to my home, although that's not where I am today. But it actually kind of does look like that today here. So another beautiful day in Northern California. So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So I've got about 15 years or so under my belt in a creative capacity. So like you said, I'm the creative director at Givelify right now. The majority of my work experience would be lumped into agency work. My previous job before this one, I was at an agency for 7 years. Prior to that, was Rosetta. It's now Sapient Razorfish. So digital as well. And then a couple other smaller agencies prior to that. However, throughout that time, I did have a few stints. One at a startup, which was slightly different than agency, so more kind of like, a little bit of in-house, as well as about 2 years at American Greetings. So working on a product marketing team. Now, this was many years ago, back when it was actually a profitable business still to sell people subscriptions for things like e-cards. That'll tell you how long ago approximately it was, right? But really, having gone through all of that experience, a couple things, and being, like I said, at my last job for about 7 years, when the pandemic hit, I had, like so many others, the affordance of a little bit of downtime, right? Business was slow across the board. All of a sudden, I don't have this commute, which was about an hour and a half each day.
Ooh.
With traffic and everything. I didn't have any of those time wastes, and I'm here at home now. So I could kind of like have the ability to just kind of think really a little bit more than I typically do with the agency pace of life. And, I had already observed, and there's been a bunch of think pieces on it, but, my experience jived with them in terms of the agency landscaping really being something that was shifting. And it wasn't just kind of a blip on the radar, something that I had seen and experienced for a number of years. And really, it was this shift away from your classic agency of record model. And as a creative, a team leader, getting to, say, hey, these are my accounts. I've worked on these accounts. This is my book, 10 years, 20 years, whatever it was, right? That's how things used to be. I remember when I started, that's still how they were. Mm-hmm. And it shifted much more towards just project-based work. Mm-hmm. I love the pitch. I love going after it, the hunt. Mm-hmm. But it gets tiring after a while. Mm-hmm. And also, when you find yourself as an agency having to pitch over and over for work that you've already won, not mm-hmm. because you've done a bad job or anything like that, but because you've got procurement. And mm-hmm. that's one, way that they drive down costs across the board. And sometimes you lose, sometimes you win. But what you lose in general is the ability to work on things for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
And as a creative, I think I'm a bit unique. In that what really drives me is more kind of just like an analytical approach. I love data. It's why I spent most of my career in digital, especially the ability to not only put something out there, whether that's a campaign or, website, whatever it is, right? But also learn from it. That's what really drives me. I still flip through the pages of, communication arts. I follow along with all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to pause my notifications. I'm sorry.
Okay, no problem.
A little bit of chatter there. There we go. But, even within on all those classic award shows, first thing that's always in my mind is like, yeah, but how did it do? What were the metrics? Like, mm-hmm. what was the budget? What was the timeline? That's the stuff that I like. I like problem solving and being creative within those constraints and saying, okay, this was a great solution or maybe a mediocre solution based on all of these other factors, not just how did it look. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yeah. All of a sudden we're in a pandemic and I'm finding myself with time to actually do some of this self-reflection, you know? And I thought, you know, when I have felt probably, you know, the most, you know, happy, the most fulfilled in my career was going back, you know, many years ago when I was, you know, at a couple of these different positions where it's more in-house, where I was mm-hmm. working on something that we owned. I wasn't at an agency. It was working with a dedicated team over an extended period of time and testing out things and trying little things. Like let's test even something as simple as a call to action. I love that stuff. And I thought, you know, if I'm ever going to have the opportunity to actually look for something that might be better aligned with that and not have the pressure of, you know, having my back against a wall, like, uh-oh, I don't have a job anymore. I got to find something. You don't really have the luxury in that situation. I've got four kids. My wife, you know, thankfully we're able to have her be a stay-at-home mom. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if that were ever to happen, I wouldn't be able to say, oh no, that's a great job, great salary, but it's not just what would make me happy. You know, I'm not a college kid anymore. But like I said, we're in the pandemic and all of a sudden I've got this rare opportunity. So I thought that's the silver lining to this thing. I'm going to define what is important to me and I'm going to just kind of dip my toes in the water and see what's out. And the interesting thing, and this goes back to my backdrop here that I promised I'd bring it full circle to.
Okay.
The interesting thing is as I was thinking through those criteria, you know, heading into the pandemic, I'd already been kind of doing this. I kind of was starting to get this sense of kind of what I wanted to do for that next leap. Mm-hmm. With the one exception being the ability to work remote. Mm-hmm. So pre-pandemic, like I was probably the staunchest advocate for work from work as opposed to work from home. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was the guy who would brave the Cleveland winter that, you know, 40 minutes or so on a good day commute to work from the office, even if it took me 2 hours to get in and I might be the only one who actually showed up, right? Mm-hmm. And the reason for it was, again, you know, I said, we've got four kids. We've got ages 1, 2, 4, and 9. So even when school's in session, we've got three little ones here. It's quite a few. And then you can think about like the summer or, you know, whenever, it's even crazier. And so the few times that I had needed to work from home, you know, the rare kind of, oh, client, you know, late night thing, or maybe, you know, an odd weekend here or there, I had just done it with kind of like very much of a Band-Aid kind of setup. I had a little tiny desk that I, you know, bounced around from apartment to house to house to house from IKEA years ago, you know, a comfortable chair. It was like the bare minimum where I could like sit down and cramp, like, you know, bust out some emails or some work. It was also in the kids' playroom, which is in our basement. Mm-hmm. So overall, that kind of environment and setup is not conducive to long-term work. And so, you know, in my mind, I always thought of working from home being next to impossible, at least for like an extended period of time, even a full day. So like I said, pandemic hits. Now all of a sudden I have to do this, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, geez, you know, if I'm going to make this work, I got to think through like making some fundamental changes. And my wife was actually the one who said, you know, got all this unused space up in the master bedroom. What if you set up there? You know, you're on the second floor, you're more space away from the kids, you know, attached bathroom, basically be up there all day and never have to even come downstairs. It's like you're at an office, except you're at home. And that's genius. And that's exactly what I did. You know, went out and bought a proper desk. You can probably see I have a stand-up desk. That's how I've worked for a number of years now. You know, made some small investments. And boom, all of a sudden now, I added to that criteria of kind of what is my next leap? What is that dream job? If I can manifest it, what does that look like? One of the top criteria was I want to work remotely. Mm-hmm. And that actually became kind of one of the things that really was a catalyst for me making this move was I talked to my employer at the time and I was just trying to get an idea of like, hey, is this like a temporary thing? Because I've talked to other places and they're going all in on working from remote, you know? And they're like, no, we've got a significant amount invested in our different locations. So they had 9 offices globally. Mm. Some very recent significant investments, like I said, but also at a deeper level, you know, it was clear that there was kind of this cultural feeling that the physical environment could never be replicated. that there was too much value in that. And that's subjective. I can see why some people would think that. Personally, I thought that, you know, that it could to you know, different, but that it could, and that could be overcome. So anyway, that became one of my leading criteria. And so when I found Giblify, that was actually how I found them. I had been kind of, like I said, dipping my toes in the water, primarily on a couple of, you know, online boards that promoted jobs that were remote, completely virtual jobs.
Cool.
So that's the long-winded answer to not only my background, but how I got to where I am today and in the setting that you see.
Yes, it's very nice. And then, so, well, we've talked about Giblify a little bit. Why don't you tell us what Giblify does, who your target audience is, the services you provide, all that stuff.
Sure. Just to greatly oversimplify it, Giblify is a company that has been around for just over 7 years now. The company was started by our founder when he found himself, actually, and I love this story, found himself in church one day, and, you know, they're passing the plate around, and he goes to reach for his wallet. Oh, forgot his wallet, like many of us, especially guys, tend to do. Also, no checkbook. You know, I can't think of the last time I actually used a checkbook, but still, no way. He wanted to give his weekly offering and wasn't able to. And he thought, you know, geez, this isn't the first time that this has happened to me either. There's got to be some way. I have all these other apps that allow me to send money just on my phone. That's all I need. That's all I typically leave the house with. You know, why isn't there something in this space? And so, you know, with that kind of background story, that's exactly what he set out to do, was solve that specific problem. So we have grown in the past 7 years to become one of the largest, you know, most downloaded, best reviewed apps, primarily for, you know, nonprofit and faith-based giving. Our focus really for growth along that entire time has been with the small to medium-sized organizations, what we call donies. So really focusing on, you know, not the mega churches, not the huge, maybe, you know, ministries with a national footprint, but even just mom and pop. This could be a small congregation. Maybe they don't even have a physical space to gather in basement, but understanding what their unique needs are and figuring out how we can solve them, not only with our giving app that the donors download and use to donate and support those organizations, but also on their needs from, you know, a reporting standpoint, tax integration, some of that stuff. You know, what does their day-to-day life look like? And really relying on those relationships and cultivating them and having them kind of go out into the world and become the ambassadors for our other services, including that app.
Interesting. So it sounds like you do a lot of the back office stuff for them and let them concentrate on what they do best, which is serve the community, right?
It's not even the back office stuff. Well, yes, it is, you know, on certain things. But it's really more of, you know, a fundamental dedication to understanding their needs. We're not the only player in the space. There's a lot of much larger players, but they're very much, you know, viewing this as more of a transactional relationship. For us, it's truly understanding and meeting their needs is the core of what we do. Any service that we offer ties back directly to that. It's not simply reporting, because that's what everybody else does. It's reporting with the features that we understand them to truly need. And if we're wrong about that, we're constantly learning and changing and adapting.
Very nice. So you started out during the pandemic. So
yes.
So where is Giblify headquarters, if they have a headquarter?
Yeah. So this was a really cool, and also, you know, one of the first things that I heard from them that told me that, you know, I felt like this could be the right move. So they, when I was interviewing or this past summer, they had just completed work on a brand new headquarters in downtown Indianapolis. It was a full floor. They had partnered with, you know, some very well-known architects to help build it out, you know, top of the line furniture, including your standing desks, et cetera, et cetera. And all of a sudden the pandemic hit. I think that they said they had been in the space for, I want to say, like less than a month or so. Ooh. I've seen photos, it's a beautiful space.
About a year ago.
Yeah. And I was talking to, it was, you know, one of the recruiters in HR. He was actually in Indianapolis and had seen the space. And she said, you know, it broke our hearts, but we decided, hey, we've always been a semi-remote team. They had that core constituency in Indianapolis, but they also had a you know, decent-sized group down in Texas, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, also another contingent in Toronto. But in addition to those hubs, you know, a number of individuals scattered throughout the United States, actually North America as a whole. And so she said, you know, we came together and we said, hey, even though we just made this investment, we have to let it go. And it was painful, but they said, we are going to become fully remote. And what I loved about hearing that was, you know, again, going back to at the time, my current employer, you know, we had, like I said, 9 offices globally. So part of our work was necessarily virtual anyway. Right. You know, I was spending, you know, a majority of my time on phone calls, video conference, whatever, right? But we had not committed to being completely remote.
Right.
And so while we were all on lockdown, there were certain things that were simply abandoned. It was work as usual, life as usual, except we're all doing it from home for right now until we go back to the office.
Mm-hmm.
We're not really going to change anything other than we're all on more video calls perhaps than we used to do. But that's about it. And talking to Givlify and that dedication and commitment to actually being full on remote and hearing kind of some of the things like what does that actually mean? It was going beyond simply having Zoom access for everyone, right? It was dedication to how do we kind of augment some of the in-person experience that you get in a traditional environment. And so, you know, it's stuff like doing, you know, like a first day with a friend type thing. So on your very first day, they send you a gift card, you can use it for Uber Eats, they send it to someone else on the team, and they allow, you know, some time for you just to talk to this person, just like you might, you know, see in a physical environment, where it's like, hey, this is going to be your person who shows you around the day, you know. If you don't know where the bathrooms are, you can ask this person. Same kind of mentality where it's like there's a little bit of a comfort zone. And so as a day one employee, you've got somebody who you're like, hey, this might sound like a dumb question, but, you know,
yeah,
the pay stubs, like who do I tell, you know, and it's little things like that. Also, they talked about, you know, and I think this is tremendous, that this idea that they were going to do a yearly conference. They'd already done their inaugural one pre-pandemic, where they flew everyone in to, I believe it was in Indianapolis, but they flew in all of the employees to be in the same place for a week. Now this year, it was in December, we did it virtually, of course, but the plan is that this will continue to be an annual event where they will still bring everyone physically into one location for a week-ish per year. Because there was a recognition that, you know, even despite all of these other programs, the Slack channels, all the little meetup groups that we have, all, you know, there's a billion things I haven't even gone into. But despite all of that and all of the things that we try to do to make remote truly work, there's still kind of a core need just to have people there physically. And if you think about the investment it takes to fly people from all over the country, all over the world into a single place, I mean, it's not insignificant.
Right.
And it was the feeling of, like, yes, this is important. But also, so is making sure that we make other adjustments so that for, you know, the remainder of the year, we're making this as good as possible.
Well, interesting. Like, normally in a company, when you start, the first day is spent with HR, and then the next 4 days of the week are spent reading what the company's all about, right? So it sounds like you actually had a go-to person, and where you actually got to, like, jump right in, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, it's just that little subtle thing. Of not just a person, not just somebody on your team or like, hey, here's your team and, you know, we'll do a round robin, get to know them. But actually, this was somebody who I don't work with on a day-to-day basis, just someone who had been part of the company for a number of years, kind of had more answers than perhaps, you know, somebody with a year under their belt or something like that, and could offer a different perspective. Yeah.
Yeah. So now that you've been doing, I mean, you were doing remote when the pandemic hit, but it was kind of like with the assumption you're going to go back to your hour and a half commute. But now you've been doing it for like a real remote company for about 5 months now, it sounds like, 5 or 6 months.
Correct, yeah.
What do you think is the future of remote? Do you think, because you sounded like you were a work from work guy, and now you're a work remote guy. So
I'm a full convert, yes.
I assume you talk to friends and colleagues about this. Do you think more and more people are converting?
Absolutely. You know, it's remarkable as I was kind of like starting this journey that culminated in me, you know, taking the position I'm at now. I was talking to a number of people, you know, getting their sense on the situation was my goal of finding a place where it was 100% remote, 100% virtual forever. Was that even, you know, a reasonable goal? Did that stuff exist? And, you know, in talking to so many different individuals, the vast majority of them, and I'm talking about, you know, friends of mine who own quite large companies, even, you know, in much more traditional verticals, like manufacturing, sales, stuff like that, that they're going to remote and like permanently into remote, that they have, you know, they're like, hey, we're actually seeing a workforce that is more productive. It's more efficient. It's happier in general. But also, and I've seen this firsthand myself as well, it's also great because, you know, where I'm at in northeastern Ohio, typically when you start thinking about talent and your talent pool, you're limited, right? You're limited to what is here, or your ability to attract talent from other areas like beautiful California, where you're currently at, to the Ohio climate. Now we can kind of offset that with cost of living, et cetera, right. But still, it's a steep ask. It's a huge investment from, you know, an employer mindset. It's like, you have to be really sure, right? And, you know, there's so much talent, especially if we're thinking about kind of more junior to mid-level out there, that rising talent, that traditionally we wouldn't, you know, take a bet on. Because we had to make this huge investment. Are we going to invest in moving somebody halfway across the country simply because we think that they could be a rising star and right. they might work out? And now we're not limited to that talent pool. It's fantastic. So those are a couple of the big things, as well as the more obvious ones with simply, you know, reduced overhead. Hey, we don't need all this office space. Why are we paying for this huge lease?
Right.
Get rid of it. And really, I think, you know, for me and so many others, it was this realization that so much of our world had already become remote anyway. You know, even my young kids, they are used to FaceTiming. You know, my mother-in-law, who's remarkable, I mean, she's a very hands-on, wonderful grandma, lives 15 minutes away from us and is in the house, you know, every other day practically. They still FaceTime with her. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're used to. Thinking about my experience in my job, I was constantly on video conference calls, on the phone. You know, we're on computers, we have decentralized file sharing. You know, when we went into this, it wasn't that scary. It wasn't that different. Right. Other than the biggest thing that changed was that commute that I'd always hated anyway, you know? There's been this kind of like collective wake up call where people are like, hey, this isn't too different. And actually, it's a lot better. So yeah, I think remote is here to stay.
I would agree. And then, especially in your case, where you have four young kids, I mean, that extra 2 hours a day is huge, right?
You know, it's the time back in the day, but it's so much more than that. It's being present. Even if I'm hearing them, it's the difference of being here and being like, oh, geez, I know my wife had a really rough day because I heard how much screaming was going on. Like, I need to go a little above and beyond, or minor things, like the ability to, hey, you know, help out, like kids got, you know, we need to pick up a prescription.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like if you have young kids or have been around, you know, people with young kids, you probably know it takes more time to get them all in the car and strapped in. And if it's in the winter, then you factor in putting on the coats and the boots. It takes more time to do that than it takes to actually get to wherever you need to go.
Yes.
So, you know, the ability to just say, hey, yeah, I can spare 20 minutes. I'll run out and grab a prescription
or,
you know, you can take like one of them to a quick doctor's appointment. Now, when I'm working 40 minutes away or so downtown, I can't do that. That turns into, oh, it's only 10 minutes, right, to actually do the task, but it's also an hour plus round trip or whatever it is. So, you know, it has strengthened our family unit incredibly. So, it's been wonderful. I love it.
I agree. And as you know, if things are good at home, generally things are good. It just makes the whole everything better, right?
It does. Yeah.
Well, Kendall, it's been great talking to you today. It sounds like you got a great situation there. You obviously have a really good interior decorator that you do. And four young kids, that's also great. Mine are a little bit older now. My youngest is 31, but we did something similar. My wife worked from home too for quite a while. So I want to thank you for your time today and good luck with Giblify.
Thanks again for having me on, Mark. I appreciate the time.
All right. Bye.
Take care. Bye.